We're looking in the studying in the book of James. We got down to verse 16 last week in James chapter 1. That last verse that we looked at was, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." In other words, just stay the course, to stay on that flight that you're intended to go on, just like those geese that were flying over the direction they're headed. And he says, do not err in that direction that we are headed. And we're going to start out with verse 17 this morning. And the title of the message is, God tests faith by the word. He tests your faith by the word. You realize that? Not by what man's words are or what man says, but by the word of God. That's how your faith is tested. This is study number 2 of the book of James. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Daryl, leave that up and let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for that good gift that is from above, Lord, and that is that gift of love, Lord, but most of all that gift of mercy, Lord, and kindness that you have bestowed upon us, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and what he has done for us on the cross. Lord, we praise you for that good and perfect gift, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, we praise you for your word, Lord, and for the spirit of truth that is spoke through it, Lord. We pray that we'd apply it to our lives and our hearts this morning, Father, that it would convict us, Lord, and it would show us our need for a Savior, Lord. We thank you for that. Just be with me and guide me through this passage of Scripture, Lord. Father, just open our hearts and minds to receive it. In Christ's name, amen. Now, verse 17 and 18 there, he says that good and perfect gift is from above. And it says that it come down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, in God there is no dark side. He is a light that never changes. And the good and the perfect gifts that we get from him is from him and him alone. You know, as you set out, and as Rick was talking about being sitting outside and just seeing the glories of nature, and just to think about every one of those gifts that we have in the form of nature are from him. And verse 18, it talks about in his own will. In God's own will, he begat he us. Begat means to bring forth. In other words, with the word of truth, he brought us forth. And when we join our will with his will, that's when we're brought forth. That's when we're born again. That's when there's a change to begin to take place. That is when you're going to really experience those good and those perfect gifts that comes down from the Father that never changes. You know, that's an awesome scripture right there, is to realize that we have a God that never changes. You know, even though we change and we mess up and we stumble and fall, we serve the same God that we were serving yesterday. We're serving the same God that we served last year. He's a God that never changes. His word is truth, and it never changes. Now, let's read on verse 19 through 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, notice he's talking to Christians. He says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It tells us a few things there that we need to pay attention to here, and one of them is that we need to hear. We need to hear the word of God. stop and think about this for just a moment. That word that he's talking about is a living word. It is powerful. The scripture teaches it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So how to be able to grow after you've been born again, after you've been begot of God, you've got the word of truth in your life speaking through you into your heart. After that happens, after you've been born again, you got to grow. And how do we grow is by hearing the word of God. That word that is powerful and that it is living. You know, I've heard people say that I just cannot understand the word of God. No matter how much I study it, how much I try to read it, I just can't understand it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 will explain that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The scripture reads, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In other words, the natural man, a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that's still not made right with God, they cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. Because that's how the Word of God, that's how you recognize and understand the Word of God, is this because of the Spirit of God that is living inside of you. And if you have not been born again, if you have not received that good and perfect gift, you cannot possibly understand the Scriptures, because it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. And you cannot know them. You're spiritually discerned until you've been born again. And when you're born again, your spiritual eyes are opened up, and your ears are opened up into the, and your mind and your heart is opened up to the understanding of the Word of God. As a child of God, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and that Spirit that is living inside of you wants to teach you the Word of God. That's why when you're born again, you should have that desire in your heart, deep down, to read the Word of God. And if you don't have that inspiration, that desire to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God says that you're not born again. Because you have a desire to pray to your Heavenly Father. You have a desire to learn about Him. And if you do not have that, then you are not born again. Now remember, he's talking to, in this scripture in James, he's talking to believers. And he tells us to, in verse 19, in verse 19, be swift to hear. We're to hear the Word of God. Our Creator and our Redeemer wants to talk to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. It says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak. Think about that for just a moment. God gave us, what, two ears. He gave us two ears, and he gave us one mouth. Think about that. And then he tells us, be slow to speak. You know, there's so many times in our lives, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else, that your lips start moving before your brain does. How many times that happened to us? We've got two ears and we've got one mouth. That's for a reason. We're to hear the Word of God. We're to be swift to hear, but we're to be slow to speak. In other words, we're to think about what we say before we speak it. And another, and he tells us another thing to be slow about, be slow to wrath. In other words, to be slow about getting angry. It doesn't tell us not to get angry. It says to be slow about it. Because why? In verse 20, it says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." In other words, if you're angry, it's not going to bring forth the righteousness of God. It's going to be contrary to the will of God in your life and in that other person's life that you're getting angry about. Let's read on. Verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." We're to put away filthiness and wickedness, and we're to receive the implanted Word of God. That's what happens when you become born again. That Spirit of God is implanted in you, and He wants to implant the Word of God in you. That Word can save your souls. And it's speaking about those who have been saved, who have received the Word. It's planted in your heart. That's salvation. That's what is, that's being born again. And when that happens, you can live a life as a Christian. So I ask a question. Are you interested in the Word of God? Is there an interest in you? Do you have that desire to learn about your Redeemer and about your Savior, about your Creator? If you have no desire, but you need to question yourself, you need to judge yourself whether you've been born again, whether you have the Spirit of God indwelling within you. Now, verse 22. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Be a doer. The Word of God, it demands action in our life. The first thing it demands is that we acknowledge that we are sinners. That it demands that we acknowledge that we need a Savior. But upon becoming a believer, being indwelt by the Spirit of God, then it demands action. So first of all, the Word of God demands that we have belief. It doesn't ask you to do anything else. But that is the first step, is to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Amen? That is the very first step that you got to do. You got to believe that the Word of God says that you are going to die in your sins if you do not turn to Christ. You're going to die in your sins. 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 2. You say, "Brother Dennis, I've been thinking about it, and I've been hashing this over for a long time." Look what the Word of God says about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And in Psalms 95:7, it says, "Today, if you will hear his voice." You know, there's, if the Spirit of God has been dealing with you in your heart and in your life, there is not time to put it off. The Scripture teaches us there that today is the accepted time. If you hear His voice, do it today. Don't put it off. If you're hearing and receiving, don't put it off. Get that Spirit of God indwelling inside of you. Back to James. Look what the last part of verse 22 says. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Deceiving. Nobody else is deceiving you. The world's not deceiving you. You're deceiving yourself. Think about it. You say, "Well, Brother Dennis, I believe in God. I'm all right. I'm just as good as that other person over there. Are you deceiving yourself? Nobody else is deceiving you. How does your life line up with the Word of God? It's not what you think about what somebody else thinks, about what I think. It is how you line up with the Word of God. Now, verse 23. It's 23 and 24. If any, that pretty well covers all of us, be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What happens when you look into a mirror? You see a reflection. Who do you see a reflection of? Of who you are. It's not somebody else. It's who we see ourselves as who we really are. Remember the story I shared about going to the river and going swimming and putting my sunglasses on? Remember that? And I had them pushed up like that, and my hair was a little longer than it is now. Remember? And I drove back, and I stopped at the store, you know, and pulled my glasses off and went in. My hair was like sticking rock straight up, all the way. And I walked in there, and everybody's like, "Hey, you been swimming?" I'm like, "You know, my clothes are dry. How'd they know I've been swimming?" Well, I get back out, and I'm pretty particular with my hair most of the time. That's some deer hunting or something like that. But when I got back in that car, and I went to back up, and I looked in that rearview mirror, my goodness. See, I couldn't see that because I hadn't looked in the mirror. But until you look in that mirror and see just how much messed up your hair is, then and only then can the Word of God penetrate your heart. Because then you see things as God sees. You see yourself, your sins, as God sees you. Look in the mirror. What is the mirror? The mirror is the Word of God. The mirror is the Word of God. It lets you see you as you truly are. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. Don't treat the Word casually. Don't go over it very hurriedly. Study the Word. You know, I think we get so caught up in this deal of thinking that I've got to read 3 chapters a day. Does it say anything about that anymore? Let the Word of God soak in. I don't care if it's 2 verses a day. If it's 1 verse a day, you read it and study it. You let it soak in. Don't go over it and treat it just as casual, because it's not casual. It is the Creator, the Redeemer of this world that is wanting to speak to you. And that's the only way that you can learn about Him. Don't go over it hurriedly. Be a hearer and not a... not just a not a doer. If you're doing that, if you're just hearing and you're not being a doer, then you're not grasping the knowledge of what it's saying. Because if you're grasping hold of it, of what it is actually saying to you, it'll spring you into action, and you'll become a doer. It will lead to action. Just like a man that's seeing himself in the mirror and then not doing nothing about it. See, there's no action there. But if you're truly absorbing what the Word of God says, then it'll spring you into action. It's just like looking in a mirror and you see your condition, and then you will do something about it. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We need to look attentively at the law of liberty. This is not the law of Moses. This is the law of grace and a law of faith. We need to look at it attentively. And look what it says. It said you'll be blessed in your deeds, in your actions, that you're being a doer of the word. Verse 26. Got your shoes on? That mirror is fixing to step on your toes. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. First thing I want to point out, that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And it says right here, and it's talking about all religions here. If a man does not control his speech, then it's vain. What is vain? Vain is nothing. It's what you have after you pop a bubble. Those kiddie bubbles that you blow bubbles with. What happens after you blow that? What is left of that? There's nothing. There's nothing. If a religious man does not control his speech, then his religion is vain. So you don't have it. In verse 27, it explains what that Christianity should be. It is contact, pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fathers and the widows in their affliction. In other words, we need to be in contact with the sorrow of the world. We don't have to spend a lot of time with the world, and the Bible teaches us not to, but we need to be connected to the world and what's going on and the sorrow of the world and the problems of the people of the world. But with that contact, it says they're in their affliction. In other words, people in need. With that contact, we also have to remain what? Unspotted from the world. The test of true religion. How's your tongue been lately? What's that old saying? What's in the well, or what's in your heart, will come up out of the bucket. In other words, what's in your heart's going to come up out of your mouth. Maybe you've had a heart lately of anger. Maybe you've been angry about something. What's going to come up out of your mouth? There's going to be words of anger. That's what's going to come up out of that well, up out of your heart. Look into the Word of God. Don't let it be about religion. Jesus Christ spoke out against religion. It's not about religion. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about being born again. It's about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Live a life unspotted before the world. See, the world is not reading the Bible. The world is reading you. The world is reading me. They're watching us. They're reading our lives to see what we're doing. That's why we need to stay unspotted. You say, Brother Dennis, I messed up last week. I've got a spot on me. How do I get rid of it? I'll tell you how to get rid of it. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is the only way. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he'll do what? He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you from all. It says all unrighteousness. Not part of it, but all of it. That's the only way we're going to remain unspotted. That is the only way that we are going to grow, is through that implanted, that engrafted Word of God. You're not going to, you're going to grow a little bit coming in here on Sunday morning and listening to the scriptures. But if you really want to truly grow the way God designed you to grow, you need to get into the Word for yourself. That's what the Word of God teaches. It don't teach to come in here and sit down and listen to me give out a sermon and then go home. You're supposed to go home and study what I've told you and look it up for yourselves. Amen? Don't take my word for it. Take the Savior, the Redeemer of the world, right here. It's His Word, the engrafted Word, the implanted Word. And He wants to implant it in your heart and in your life. Amen?